You know, usually when Elon Musk throws a party, the headline is about the hardware.
Right.
Or the timeline he's definitely going to miss.
Right.
But at the Wii Robot event at the Warner Bros. Lot, something just shifted. He rolls out the cyber cab.
No steering wheel, no pedals.
The whole sci-fi dream, right? But for a huge chunk of the internet, and certainly for the legal department at Alcon Entertainment, the car was the least interesting thing on stage.
It was the wallpaper, literally the backdrop.
Right. I was watching the live stream, and the moment Musk walks out, the first thing I thought wasn't cool robot taxi. It was, wait, is that Ryan Gosling's car from Blade Runner 2049?
It was unmistakable.
The visuals were just.
Yeah.
You had that radioactive dusty orange haze, the brutalist ruins of Las Vegas. It looked like they just projected the movie onto the screens behind him.
And that recognition is exactly what triggered one of the most significant copyright lawsuits we've seen in the, well, in the AI era. Because Alcon, the studio that owns Blade Runner 2049, they didn't just see a similarity, they saw a theft. And they filed suit almost immediately. Case CV-2026 Law.
Which is wild, because usually these things take months to cook up. But Alcon came out swinging. And looking at the court filings, they aren't just suing for copyright infringement in the, you know, the traditional sense.
No, not at all. They're effectively putting the entire practice of AI-style mimicry on trial.
That's the key.
That is the key. This isn't just you stole our photo. It's you fed our brand into a machine to bypass our refusal. It's a case that forces the courts to look at generative AI, prompt engineering, and what actually constitutes a brand identity in a world where a computer can just hallucinate a lookalike in seconds.
I want to get into the technical how of that in a minute, because the forensic analysis of the images is fascinating. But we have to start with the timeline.
We do.
Because I think people assume big corporations just do what they want. But usually there's a process.
There is. And normally, if Tesla wants to license imagery from a major motion picture, that's a 6-month negotiation. You've got lawyers, brand safety teams, licensing fees. It's a huge bureaucratic machine.
But according to the complaint, Tesla didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
They reached out to Alcon mere hours before the event started.
Literally hours. The event is starting, the stage is built, Musk is probably getting his mic checked, and suddenly Alcon gets this frantic request. Can we use the Blade Runner imagery?
And Alcon's response was immediate. No. And I found their reasoning really interesting. It wasn't about money.
Not at all.
They didn't say pay us $10 million. They said, we do not want to be associated with Elon Musk.
Which is their right as rights holders. They explicitly cited his polarizing behavior and political outspokenness. Brands are incredibly protective of their toxicity exposure.
Sure.
Alcon is trying to sell Blade Runner as a piece of cinema art, maybe spin off a TV show or a game. They don't want it tethered to the political baggage of a tech CEO, regardless of which side of the aisle he's on. It's just brand hygiene.
So they say no, a hard no. Now, in the old world, that's the end of it. You scramble, you tell the lighting guy to change the gels to blue, and you move on.
Right.
But this is where the AI element changes the game. Musk allegedly didn't take no for an answer. He took it as a design challenge.
The allegation is that he turned to his team, or the event producers, and essentially said, fine, if we can't use the clip, make something that looks exactly like it.
And that is where they likely turn to a generator, something like Midjourney or DALL-E.
Precisely. And this is where that Peking game analysis comes in.
I was reading through their breakdown of the images, and it's pretty damning. They didn't just look at the pictures. They tried to reverse engineer how Tesla got them.
Right. This is the digital forensics part.
Mm.
The Taking Game group, which, you know, specializes in AI analysis, they theorized that you couldn't get an image that close to the movie just by asking for a futuristic city.
No way. The specific architectural geometry, the density of the fog, the light refraction, it's all too specific to Roger Deakins' cinematography.
Deakins, the guy who won the Oscar for making dust look beautiful in Blade Runner 2049.
Exactly.
So the Taking Game researchers, they fired up Midjourney V6, which is the current state-of-the-art model, and they started testing prompts. And what they found was that when they used generic terms like future city or cyberpunk taxi, the results were generic. But when they used Blade Runner 2049, Ryan Gosling, Roger Deakins, and Las Vegas ruins, the AI spat out images that were a 90% match to what was on Musk's screen.
A 90% match. That's incredible. It basically proves that the prompter, whoever was typing into the AI at Tesla, was specifically invoking the copyrighted material they'd just been told they couldn't use.
It suggests overfitting. In machine learning, overfitting is when the model has memorized the training data so well that it just regurgitates it rather than creating something new.
So it's not thinking, it's just remembering.
Exactly. The AI has seen Blade Runner 2049 frames so many times during its training that the latent space, the mathematical representation of that movie inside the AI, is incredibly distinct. If you push the right buttons, you don't get a new image, you get a memory of the movie.
So legally, Alcon is arguing that Tesla used the AI as a laundering machine. Like, I can't steal the painting, but I can ask this robot to paint a forgery that is indistinguishable from the original.
That's the style forgery argument. And it's terrifying for Hollywood.
I can imagine.
If I can just prompt, make me a Pixar movie or make me a Wes Anderson set, and the AI gives me something that bypasses the need to hire those people or license their work, well, the economic model of creativity just collapses. Alcon is arguing that the visual vibe, if it's the result of specific creative choices like Deacon's lighting, is protectable property.
It reminds me of those sound-alike lawsuits in music, you know, where advertisers would hire a singer to sound exactly like Bette Midler because she refused to do the commercial.
And she won that case.
She did.
Precisely. That's the legal precedent Alcon will likely lean on. The right of publicity and protection against false endorsement. Even if it's not the exact pixels of the movie, if the average person looks at it and says, oh, Tesla partnered with Blade Runner, then Tesla has stolen the value of that partnership without paying for it.
And that false endorsement angle is crucial here because of the sheer irony involved. I mean, we touched on Alcon not wanting the association, but the cultural backlash has been fascinating to watch.
Just perfect irony.
You have Elon Musk, richest man in the world, head of these massive conglomerates, co-opting the aesthetic of Blade Runner.
Which is a genre explicitly warning against techno-feudalism. The whole cyberpunk, Canon, Gibson deck, it's all about high-tech, low-life. It's about how megacorporations commodify human experience while the rich live in off-world colonies.
It's literally the script.
Yeah.
And I saw this thread on a forum for Middle Eastern gamers.
Yeah.
It was really insightful. They were pointing out that for a lot of people outside the Silicon Valley bubble, cyberpunk isn't just an aesthetic. It's a critique of the power dynamics they live under.
Mm.
So seeing Musk dress up as the hero of that story felt like a slap in the face.
It's the villain co-opting the resistance's uniform. And Denis Villeneuve, the director, has been very vocal about this in the past regarding how his films are used. He and Ridley Scott view this kind of thing not as flattery, but as a violation. As theft. It changes the meaning of their work. If the spinner car becomes associated with a real-world product that has real-world controversies like Tesla's self-driving safety record, it pollutes the fictional world they built.
So Tesla's facing this lawsuit that attacks them on copyright, false endorsement, and AI ethics all at once. How do they even defend this? I assume they can't just say, oops.
They'll likely argue fair use, specifically focusing on parody or cultural reference. Mm. They might argue that Blade Runner is so embedded in the cultural consciousness that using its aesthetic is a form of communication, like a meme. They'll say, we weren't selling the movie. We were using a recognized symbol of the future to contextualize our car.
But fair use usually falls apart when you're selling a product, right?
That's the hurdle. This is a commercial product launch. The goal was to pump the stock price and sell robo-taxes. Courts are historically very, very unkind to fair use defenses when the use is purely commercial.
Right.
If you use a Mickey Mouse lookalike to sell burgers, Disney will crush you. Alcon is saying this is no different.
There's another layer to the defense that I think is risky for Tesla, though. If they argue that the AI just came up with it, aren't they admitting that they don't control their own marketing materials?
And that brings us back to the black box problem. If Tesla claims ignorance, we just asked for a future city, the AI gave us this, then they're admitting negligence. But if Alcon can prove through discovery that there were emails or Slack messages saying, make it look like Ryan Gosling's car, then it's willful infringement.
And that opens the door to massive punitive damages.
Huge. And discovery is where the bodies are buried.
Imagine if they find the actual prompt history from the Tesla design team's Midjourney account.
That is exactly what Alcon is hunting for. They want the log files. If they find the string Blade Runner 24-9 or Injurmist, the case is essentially over. It becomes a smoking gun that proves the AI wasn't a creative tool, it was a Xerox machine.
Let's zoom out to the business impact, because this isn't just about a lawsuit. It's about Tesla's entire strategy. We've been talking about the Cybercab as a car, but really, it's a room.
A moving room, exactly.
Without a steering wheel, the passenger is a captive audience. The whole value proposition of the Cybercab is that you get your time back. You can work, sleep, or, most importantly, be entertained.
Which means Tesla wants these cars to be mobile movie theaters.
So they need movies.
They need content libraries. They need partnerships with Warner Bros., Disney, Sony, Universal.
Yep.
Now, if you are the CEO of Warner Bros. And Elon Musk just publicly ripped off one of your biggest IPs and then mocked the lawsuit on X.
Which he did.
Which he did. Are you going to sign a deal to put your library in his cars?
Probably not. You're going to blacklist him.
It's strategic self-sabotage. By fighting this battle to look cool for one night, Musk might have alienated the very partners he needs to make the Cybercab viable as a media platform.
That's a huge vulnerability. Imagine buying a $30,000 Cybercab and realizing the screen is dark because no studio will license their app to Tesla.
And Wall Street hates unnecessary risk. This lawsuit isn't just a legal fee. It's a potential roadblock to the entire entertainment on wheels revenue model.
Right.
And remember, the We Robot event was supposed to reassure investors that Tesla is an AI leader. Instead, it highlighted that their AI strategy might be built on shaky legal ground. If their marketing AI is infringing copyright, what about the AI driving the car? What data was that trained on? It invites scrutiny into their entire data pipeline.
That's a chilling thought.
Yeah.
If the generative side is reckless with data rights, the autonomous side might have similar skeletons in the closet.
It establishes a pattern of behavior. Move fast and break things, including the law. But Hollywood has better lawyers than Silicon Valley. That's the one thing people forget. The MPCL, the copyright lobby, is undefeated in the long run. They took down Napster. They took down Megupload. They are now aiming their sights on generative AI. And Tesla just volunteered to be the test case.
It really does feel like an unforced error. I mean, they were at Warner Bros. Studios. They could have just paid for the license.
Or hired a concept artist. There are thousands of brilliant artists who could have designed a futuristic city that looked original. But the insistence on the Blade Runner aesthetic speaks to that hubris we mentioned. It wasn't about the art. It was about claiming ownership of that specific future.
He wants to be the protagonist of the movie.
Yes. Not just a guy selling a car that looks like it's from the movie.
So where does this leave us?
Yeah.
We have a court date in the future, but the implications are happening now.
For the creators listening, the designers, the prompt engineers, the startup founders, I think 2026 is the year the Wild West of AI ends. You can no longer hide behind the algorithm. If you prompt an AI to mimic a copyrighted style, you are liable. The machine did it. Defense is dead.
And for the rest of us, the consumers, it changes how we look at what we're seeing.
It forces us to ask, what are we actually looking at? Is this a creative vision? Or is it a statistical average of things other people made? The Alcon lawsuit is trying to draw a line in the sand that says human intent and human creation still have value that can't be strip mined by a model.
It's funny, in Blade Runner, the whole question is what makes us human? And now, the lawsuit over the movie is asking the exact same question about our art.
It's poetry in a very litigious, expensive way.
I want to leave everyone with a thought that's been stuck in my head since I read the brief. We've been talking about style and vibe. If an AI generates a sunrise in the fog that looks exactly like a scene from a movie, that specific orange glow we talked about, can a corporation actually own that light?
That is the billion-dollar question.
Can you copyright a weather condition just because Roger Deakins filmed it beautifully? If the answer is yes, then the visual language we're allowed to use just got a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then Hollywood is in big trouble.
It's going to be a fascinating ruling.
We'll be watching it. Thanks for going down the rabbit hole with us.
Always a pleasure.